This is Power Podcast UK with Jenny and Mark.
We're writing a book and we're having a tough time getting it done. If you find it hard to motivate yourself to do something, this is the podcast for you as we explore why we procrastinate and find ways to help us get our book finished.
Whether or not you're writing a book, making a film, painting a picture, or even motivating yourself to do the housework, join us. Let's find a way to get this stuff done. Hello everyone and welcome to episode 30, Games for Character Development, I believe it's called.
It is. All words of that description. Hello everyone, welcome. Episode 30, here we go.
Hello Mark, how are you?
I'm good. I'm very good. How are you?
I'm all right. There might be some banging and some crashing today because I have got the builders in.
That's right.
It's not a euphemism.
It's part of life. True.
Woohoo! I don't know what that would mean though. Reconstructive surgery.
Sounds fun though. So we were thinking about our characters and developing our story and working through our novel, as you all know, for our avid listener out there. And so we began to think more about how we can push our characters further. And so we were just talking, weren't we, a couple of days ago, about more ways that we can do that and develop our characters. And so we're looking at games in which you can do that to make it fun.
Fun!
If you add the dose of fun, then snap, the job's a game. And every...
Is that Mary Poppins?
Yeah! See, we're taking a leaf out of Mary Poppins' book. Good old... I was going to say P.L. Travers, but she didn't like any of that, did she? It's the Sherman brothers that created all that fun for Mary. That's a big tangent. That's a big tangent if ever there was.
That's a lot of information about Mary Poppins I did not know.
Okay.
Anyway.
So let's share.
So are we going to focus on a particular character? Are we going to take them all in turn? Are we just going to talk about the games? How are we going to approach this, Mark?
So I've got a list of ideas of ways that
got a list of ideas.
So I think let's look at it from a way that you can generally apply it to any character. So when you're listening to this, you can think, yes, I can do that with my character, rather than talking about our specific characters. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, I suppose.
So I was having a look through, doing some research into character development, and I found like the same sort of information coming up over and over and over. And I guess for some people, it's a question of why do we need to worry about character development? Why is it so important that our characters are developed? And I guess it boils down to is that we want to make characters that people want to read about and that people care about and that people are investing their time in. Because when you read a book, unless you're like you, Jenny, when you read a book, it can take you a good amount of time. If you're short
circuit, at least, 3 hours, 4 hours to read a book?
If you're like me, it can take a considerably longer amount of time. You want to enjoy that time, and part of that enjoyment is when you give your character depth. So all these things help create a fuller character, and it's important. It's important for your novel.
I agree.
So, where should we start? Do you want to go first?
Yes, I looked at quite a few little sites about developing characters. And there were quite a few little games you could play. And it was all about putting them into different situations and think about how they would approach situations. And that would give you a more rounded character. And one of the nicest ones they talked about was moral conflicts. So how would they work morally? And one example was like a Robin Hood situation. So they witnessed a robbery, but the robber took the money and then gave it to orphans or something, or lepers, right? And your character has got to decide whether to shop the robber, in which case all the money would go away from the orphans back to the bank, or not tell on the robber and then the orphans keep the money. And there's that kind of moral conflict, the good, the bad. And working out where they are on the spectrum helps you think about who they truly are as a character. What do you think?
Yeah, it's quite a difficult one though, because straight away I'm thinking, what would I do in that situation?
Because it's such an
unusual yet. What I'm trying to say, it's such an unusual situation, but it's one of those things that fundamentally tells you something about your character, does it?
Yeah. And also, I think when you go into a bit more, you can think about how that your character would approach that problem. What would be their main issues? What would they really struggle with? You know, and it gets you to know a full sort of breadth of their feelings and empathy and stuff and their moral code. So, yeah, it's quite a nice one.
Mm.
There was another one, which is slightly weirder. So you've got five people who are tied to a train track and there's a trolley coming down the track and it's going to kill them like an old-fashioned movie.
Yeah,
and they're tied and they're screaming and there's cards and stuff, and you can have that, you are the lever, so you could stop it by directing it to another train track, but on the other train track there's just one person tied to the track. So what do you leave the trolley to just go and smash the other five people to death but you haven't done anything, or do you pull the lever that kills another person?
Jenny, have you watched The Good Place?
No.
This is a whole episode of The Good Place.
No way! It's on the Readsy website, is it?
Yeah, that exact thing. They're in a trolley train, and they have a lever.
Why are they in a trolley train?
Oh, I don't. Oh, this is spoilers. Spoilers.
Don't, because I haven't seen it yet, and I do want to see it.
Okay. Let's just say they talk about morality, and they put themselves in this scenario, in that exact situation.
Ah, see? Isn't it interesting? Or... where did they steal it from? Did they steal it from this website or did they steal it from them? Who have I stolen it from?
Where did this idea come from, Jenny?
Yeah.
Yeah, good place. I listened to Jamila Jamil on Jonathan Van Ness's What's the Tea? That's RuPaul.
Getting Curious With,
because he had Jamila Jamil, who's on
Jamila Jamil.
The Good Place. I feel like I'm a good place vibe. I listened to that one yesterday and today we're talking about this already. Anyway, tangent. Stop it, Mark. Stop tangenting. Okay, carry on, Jenny. I'm sorry.
No, that was it. I just wanted to talk about that one as a way of working out where your character is morally. But then I find it really difficult. I don't think I could even answer it.
I feel like for that sort of thing, if I was doing this, I don't know if you'd be the same, but I'd need to have some sort of spreadsheet or table with moral situation, then all the characters underneath and how they would respond.
Ooh, that's
like,
nice.
Like one of three ways. So,
yeah.
For example, straight away, I know that one of our characters probably would just report that, if we go back to Robin Hood's example, one of the characters mm-hmm. might report Robin Hood, but probably everyone else would be like, oh, well, screw it. Let's give the money to the orphans. And also, if I could have a bit of that money, that'd be great.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm an orphan or I'm in need or, I'm a charity. Yeah.
And so I think you kind of need to kind of log all that
somewhere. I think one of
our
characters might even blackmail the robber, don't you think?
Yeah.
They would say, like, oh, I know you've stolen from the bank and I know what you're doing, but if you give me some money, then maybe this will go away, this problem. So I think they'd do that. So that's option three.
I feel like you need to create a massive database spreadsheet so you can put all this information in and then you can easily refer to it later just to keep reminding mm-hmm. yourself and to keep in the headspace of your characters so that you don't get kind of distracted by another thought process of, oh, but that character's changing, just so you can keep a handle on what you've done with them already.
I think that's so important because that's what I really struggle with, because I just come back to stuff and I completely forget who the characters are in the backstory. So all I need is like a little bit of paper that tells me exactly who they are. And that's quite a nice refresher.
Yeah. Do you know what?
Their moral boundaries.
Do you know what? All this time we focus so much on our four central characters, yet there are lots of other characters throughout. So I wonder if it's worth us kind of creating a shared document in our, I don't know the website called, PB Wiki, PB Works thing, where we keep all our stuff, and have a little spreadsheet for all the other characters.
That would be good.
To introduce into them. Interesting.
That'd be very good. It's very useful, isn't it? Especially if we're writing together.
Because what's in my head is not in your head, and so we need to make sure those links are joined.
Yeah, that's cool.
Cool. Should I?
Have you got one?
I've got some theory and I've got some practical. What would you like, Jenny?
Theory, please.
Okay, so theory. So again, kind of looking at how to give your character depth and why to give your character depth. One of the questions, in the way that you were just talking about how we can think about how a character would react morally to a situation. To help give your character more things going on in its head to make them more of a realised solid character, is to think about what are their goals throughout the whole of your story, in your story arc. What are they looking to achieve? Why are they there? And also think about where they've come from. And so how is that driving what they're doing in the book at that point? And so once you establish that, you can start using that as a point of reference for other things as they come up. For example, if the goal is they want to get all the money in the world, then they would react in a certain way to the Robin Hood situation.
Whereas
if their character goal was, I'm fighting for equality, for example, then they would act very differently to the person that wanted all the money, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And so once you kind of have those things just set down, it helps. It's a nice linchpin for where you can go from there with your character.
That's funny. Actually, I read something similar about goals, but not just their overall goals. But one of the tips that I read was that in every situation, you need to know the goals of all of your characters, and that helps drive the story forward. And there's less blank time or just faffing about. If you know what they want from every single situation, then you can guide them a lot better.
Yeah.
In terms of dialogue and plot points and stuff. So that was very interesting.
I read a really interesting article as well, not totally related to this, but kind of related, about your story arc and how your characters function on that story arc. So does a character start off in one way and then they change over time to become something else? Again, it's like Beauty and the Beast. The Beast starts off all gruff and grr and angry and resentful and bitter and nasty, but then he changes into this softer, mellower character. And then they talked about adding in other characters to behave kind of like pawns in a game of chess that don't change, that have a very specific mindset, and they are there to provide the changing of the characters. For example, all the other characters in Beauty and the Beast, like the people that are in the house, in the castle rather, they don't really serve to change the beast. They're there to help the beast exist because they're his servant. Whereas the other main character, Belle, in Beauty and the Beast, she is the one that changes the beast.
Mm-hmm.
So it's your characters that aren't there to function to develop a character, but you have your characters that are there just to act as
to push a story along, isn't it?
Yeah, and to help the character navigate.
Yeah.
So, for example, if we go with the Robin Hood analogy again, you might want to put in a piece in your book where the character has that sort of moral dilemma, where maybe a robbery happens or something. I don't know, if it's a space trilogy, maybe there's a big fight in space with lots of lasers and things like that.
Why haven't we done a space trilogy yet?
I don't know.
Oh my God, we're really lacking. I think at the end of this book, they should fly to space, and then part two can be...
There's so much opportunity for a space trilogy with lots of lasers as well. I mean, you could have a whole theme park and everything. And just think of all the toys you could make from it, Jenny. I mean, someone should really...
Think of the outfits.
Someone should come up with this idea and do it.
Right.
But you could just put it into your book and actually show that moral dilemma, and then introduce the other characters that just serve to drive that. So you might have the robber, and all he's doing is robbing, and he's not changing character. But maybe at the robbery, your main character changes their mind slightly, and that's a shift that takes you along the story arc.
I think the robber should be really attractive, regardless, because it's Robin Hood, isn't it?
Oh, I was thinking of a big cloaked person with a big mask on. That might have a breathing problem going.
Who's a sexy Robin Hood?
The fox? If we're talking about the animation.
I think he was the sexiest Robin Hood, actually. I'm trying to think of all the Robin Hoods, but yeah, the fox was definitely, I mean, if you could fancy a cartoon character, I would totally fancy the fox from Robin Hood.
What about Kevin Costner?
No, because I think the fox is more attractive than Kevin Costner. Kevin Costner was a bit of a, like, Robin Hood, wasn't he? Bit grubby, whereas the fox was very suave and rakish and playful. And lovely hair for...
For a fox.
For a fox. Who else was Robin Hood?
I've got a list
Errol
for you.
Flynn's a bit old.
Should I give you a list of all the people who played Robin Hood? Here we go.
Yes, please.
Kevin Costner. Taron Egerton. Oh my God, I cannot wait to see Rocket Man.
Oh, Taron Egerton.
I love Taron Egerton. Russell Crowe.
Oh, I love Russell Crowe.
And how can we forget Errol Flynn?
Well, I did say Errol Flynn, but that was, you know, before our time.
Sean Connery. Carrie Elouise. Sean Maguire played Robin Hood.
Oh my God, Sean Maguire is the best, more than the fox.
Vincent Cassell played the Robin Hood in Shrek. I mean, the list goes on.
The list goes on.
I think it's
Fox, Sean Maguire, Taron Egerton,
Fox, Sean Maguire.
And then Sean Connery.
And so those are my top Armstrong. Four foxes.
Robin Hood.
Hello, Jonas Armstrong. I don't know who you are, but he could be up there.
Jonas Armstrong is, yeah. Anyway, so... This is really important. It's really important to get a level of attractiveness for all of your characters and then rate them and then decide which Hollywood star and or cartoon character you think they are.
Yeah. It works. Yeah. It's a winning ticket.
Are they a
ticket.
Sexy fox or not? You know.
It's a winning ticket to a good piece there.
You know what I think? I think that sexy fox in Robin Hood is one of the reasons why I enjoyed Zootropolis quite so much.
Really? It wasn't to do with the winning score or the superb animation or the
feminist
storyline.
Aspects, but it was... I just enjoy a sexy fox.
Thank you, Robin Hood. Those Disney animators back in the day, we owe them a lot. So I think after the break, let's talk about actual games that people can do.
Yeah, I need to calm down.
I want to talk about Bad Fish Studio. Jenny, have you ever been in a situation where you need to get some t-shirts or some hoodies printed?
But just like unique ones that just come from my head and I've got an idea and I can't find it anywhere else.
Like your own bespoke
all the time.
Design. Well, Bad Fish Studio can do that for you. Maybe you're organising a hen night, maybe you're organising a stag night or a special birthday celebration and you want everyone to be wearing the same t-shirts or the same hoodies. You can get them designed online with Bad Fish Studio. They do everything from t-shirts to hoodies and a lot more as well.
Ooh, and I guess they're only to order from £15.
Yep, that's it. Yeah. So it's a bargain.
And they could do really cool stuff. They've got loads of specialist vinyl and various methods and they can make like the best, most perfect thing that you really, really want to make your garment come alive.
Yep, and they can work with you on your design as well. So you're not alone. They will be able to help you with all their expertise of all the design that they've done before. And what's even better, what's more than that, is if you go to badfishmerch.com, find a t-shirt you want. Maybe you like one they already have in their shops. If you use offer code POW, that's POW, you can save 10%.
Yay! That's great.
So where are they? Where is Bad Fish Merch?
Well, you can find them on Facebook, Mark, at Mark, March, Merch. You can find them on Facebook, Mark, at Bad Fish Merch. Instagram is Bad Fish Studio. Or you can just go to badfishmerch.com and check it out. They've got loads of really cool stuff. They can do full colour images or bold coloured vinyl, including metallic, leather and carbon fibre look vinyl. Glow in the dark, reflective. And what else, Mark?
Well, they either do rainbow or glitter for all you snazzy unicorns out there.
I'm a snazzy unicorn. That sounds great.
I love a snazzy unicorn. Just go straight to badfishmerch.com, use offer code POW to save 10% and get designing.
Okay, so games. What games did you come up with, Jenny?
I couldn't find games, but
gay games?
I did. The moral game was kind of a game, and then it's all like, I'll put them in another situation, like in the future, or think about how they're perceived by others, or you know, what do they? I was thinking, like, what do they do? Like normal stuff, so you could see what they eat for dinner, or what do they wear to bed, or what do they have in their bubble bath? Do they have a bubble bath? Do they have a
what
shower?
What do they have in the bubble bath? Ooh.
People, things, wine. bath salts, you know.
People toys. Are things in your bubble bath. How big's your bath, Jenny? You live in a mansion.
I can fit two people in my bath. Can't you?
Well, I was thinking more like a group. When you said people.
Well, I mean, if you go to one of those like football changing rooms, you can have a big bath.
Yeah.
Or you could go to a spa.
Yeah.
And then have a bit, or a hot tub.
Yep, bit of people soup.
Yep. Mm. See, this is all giving layers of depth to your character that you didn't think you had until you've gone. So if they went in a hot tub,
would they have
their friends there?
Would they go in with Kevin Costner?
Would they just have a bottle of champagne?
Would they go in with Kevin Costner?
No, they'd have a sexy fox. If you had a sexy fox, though, all the hair would get into your bubble bath.
He might look very different there if he's covered in wet hair.
I see how Boo looks when my dog gets all wet and then she looks like a little tiny rat. Oh, sorry for herself. That's so how the fox would look, wouldn't it?
Your sexy fox would turn into a drowned rat. Mm.
Shrunken, drowned rat. Mm, so attractive.
Just what you need.
So I haven't really got any. Have you got proper games?
I've got games.
Let's do your games and then I've got a nice little bit that we can talk about afterwards.
So not a game. I've got games / suggestions of what you can do to help get into the mindset of character. First thing, which is quite an obvious suggestion, really, go along to an improv class. Have a look for drama groups, or maybe with a group of friends, and just do some improv games. And either you could take on what you believe your character to be in your head, or you might see throughout the course of the exercises that you're doing that someone else is becoming a character that you like, and you can use that in your writing. So a couple of ways of doing that is maybe Google, look on Facebook, just research local drama groups and maybe just drop them a line and see whether or not what they do, because some drama groups just do plays, don't they? And they don't actually focus so much on just kind of hanging out and doing games and...
Yeah, not many that I know. I mean, I know the one New Era, who I am part of sometimes, they do have an improv group. So it's worth looking. But then you could also talk about like classes, drama classes, improv classes at colleges and things, because that would be the same thing.
There might be at your local college, there might be like an evening class or something.
Yeah.
So it's something you might have to pay for, but it might be a worthy investment. But I would recommend that you find out the content of the classes before you go along, just so you don't end up wasting your time learning about how to be a flower.
Never a waste of time, Mark.
Well, it's not going to help you turn...
We spent 2 years pretending to be trees. Come on.
Did you? Did we?
Did theatre studies? Did we not?
Maybe tree.
I was a tree. I was definitely a tree at some point.
All this time.
Tree. Do you remember when we went to, was it the Watermill, and we performed with lots of other groups, and it was like was it a Grimm's Fairy Tale or something?
That was in Bracknell, the World Theatre.
Bracknell.
The Watermill.
I was a tree.
Elevate us to Broadway style performances at the Watermill. No, it was Bracknell.
Yeah, but it was about 25 years ago. Come on. And I was a tree.
But you were more than just a tree, Jenny. Weren't you Gretel as well?
I can't remember, but I was definitely... Yes, I was Gretel. Oh, my God. Was Ian Hansel?
Probably.
But I was also a tree and I moved and the mum and dad came to see me be a tree, so...
But I'm sure that wasn't why they came to see you, because you're a tree. And you weren't a tree for the whole 2 years. You were other things as well.
Everything, all my time, my character was firmly rooted as a tree. God. Anyway, next one.
I want to be in your mind during those years. I'm my tree today. Didn't you?
I was always an oak.
Didn't you like marry a tree or something?
I did do a lot of tree hugging.
Yeah, there's photos of you with trees.
There's photos of me loving trees. Because people used to call me tree for some reason. Yeah.
Jenny, maybe it's all coming out, isn't it, Jenny? Jenny,
it's all linked to trees. And you know who likes trees? Foxes.
Jenny, who knew in this episode we would uncover all this deep psychological information from you, Jenny? Oh, if it isn't a fox, it's a tree. Gosh. Well, what?
Next game, please.
Next game, moving swiftly on.
Please.
Okay, so this one takes a bit of guts. But what a suggestion, something you could do. Next time you're on public transport and you strike up a conversation with a stranger, the person sitting next to you. This game is probably not so good if you're an introvert. But if you are an introvert, just really, really try and muster all that energy.
Or on the last bus home.
On the last bus home.
If you're a bit drunk on a night out, don't do
this.
No,
you need to be sober because you need to remember. If you're drunk, this is a useless exercise. You've got to be
sober during the day.
Mind. Yeah.
Surrounded by other people.
Yeah. And also
be safe.
Yeah. And you'll see why in just a minute, because this develops. So initially I put this down as go to a bar, but our bars are very different to American bars, because you could totally do this in America, because the bar pub culture is completely different. It's because I find that in America you just go and sit at a bar and people come and sit and chat to you. Whereas if you do that in a pub in the UK, people kind of ignore you, I think. Anyway. Somewhere where there's lots of people that you can talk to, where it doesn't matter who you are. So maybe not in your community. People, strangers, stranger people that you don't know. And just start creating a new character for yourself. So they might say, oh, what do you do? And you say, oh, I'm training to be a dentist. And then they might say, oh, what does that do? And you could say, oh, I don't know. However, this morning, I witnessed a robbery. And for example, like, you just like make up this whole elaborate story about yourself and what you've done today and what you've been and what you did last week. And just,
that's crazy.
And just kind of, you know, kind of riff a bit, make it up as you go along, and just see what happens. And at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter what you say. You don't know that person. They don't know you. You could give them a lovely spring in their step on their day's journey. They'll just chat to this lovely dentist who witnessed a robbery in the morning. So you've got nothing to lose. Just give it a go.
Isn't it a bit lying a bit?
No, but you're creating a character. Like, you're creating a character.
I don't know. Maybe I could start small by just having little lies about myself.
But it can't be yourself. You need to go and, like, I am, for this exercise, I'm going to be potentially character A in my book.
I have thought about a safer way that someone could do this.
Go on then.
Right? Do it with a friend.
Yeah.
And then arrange, you know, when people, like, people try and inject a bit more life back into their marriage and they play like role playing games and they're in a bar and then their partner walks in, they pretend not to know them and it's all like, oh my God, oh, you're so attractive.
Do you watch Modern Family?
No, but I watch Gavin and Stacey.
That's an episode of Modern Family.
Oh, well, it's a common thing, I think. So you could do it with a friend. If you're a bit scared, like I am, of lying to people, then turning around and going, oh, I'm a dentist too, where are you studying? You know? Do it with a friend and then just play with it. And then that's more fun then. And then you can have a little drink and have a little laugh and then develop your characters in a safe space where you're not going to get caught out. Or, like, say you're a doctor and then someone has a heart attack and they're like, you can't do anything about it because you're not an actual doctor.
Sorry, I'm just researching for my book. I'm not really.
Did I say doctor? I'm just doing this character development game that Pal Podcast UK told me to do. So you can talk to them. So, yeah, do it in a safe space if you're not that comfortable telling elaborate lies to strangers.
So that's the game, guys. Tell elaborate lies to strangers.
That's really good. This work. This is this. Ugh. It's sort of flowing on to my next point.
Go on then.
I was looking at a Tumblr called Fuck Yeah Character Development, which is amazing, isn't it? And I'll put a link in.
I'm loving that title.
But one of the points that came up was apparently there's I'll have to find out things. There's a BAFTA lecture, and one of the people there talked about how important it is to let your characters lie. And the main problem with people writing about characters is they just tell their truth all the time, unless it's like a proper plot point that they're lying. But they said most people lie every day. You're not always saying exactly what you think when you're talking to people day to day, are you? You're being polite. You've got ulterior motives. And it's all about letting the characters lie makes them more of a three-dimensional character. So think about that when you're plotting and thinking and developing characters.
So how can we turn that into a game? Come up with 5 lies that your character makes.
I think it would be quite nice for even during the day, if you were to walk around during the day, just being aware of when you aren't being completely honest. And then those real-life examples can help you apply them to writing a plot, because that's quite nice. Because I don't think you don't even realize that most of the time you're kind of operating on there's like a polite level. When you bump into someone, you don't go, oh, I don't want to speak to you, you're really boring. You go, oh, hi, how are you? So if you took a notice of that throughout the day and be more conscious and aware of it, then I think you'd apply that a bit more to a writing.
Interesting.
And then go out and just lie to people, because that's what you're meant to do, apparently.
Do you know, I've never actually consciously thought about that. I'll put it so much in those terms that this is lying.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting, isn't it? But you're never 100% truthful. I think there's like one person in the world I'm 100% truthful with.
Is that Boo?
Yeah, it is Boo. No, it's Nick. Or maybe, no, it's not Hector because I lie to him all the time. Yes, I am listening. Yes, I am interested. I'm always interested.
Aww. That's cute.
So, yeah. There you go.
Interesting.
Oh, that works nicely. I like that.
Ooh. That is good. And I've got one more little game.
Yay!
Which I'm going to call Telly Time. Now, in order to play Telly Time, you have to find a TV show on your telly program, put on your Netflix, put on your Now TV, put on your television, put on your BBC One, your ITV.
I love this game already. Whichever. Has it got a sexy fox in it?
No, but it can have one.
Yay!
It's possible they could put that in for you, Jenny. Mm-hmm. And study your character for 15 minutes. Just watch them. It might be that when you turn this on, that they're only on screen for a little while. So find another character. The character you see the most of within that 15 minutes, put on your little timer, just watch it. You do not have to know anything about the TV series.
Right.
The less you know, the better, really. So just put anything on. 15 minutes, and then you have to create a backstory for that character and go back to what we said right at the start. What are their goals and why are they there and what is their past? And just make it up.
Ooh. Cool.
So it's just a little exercise for yourself. Just start thinking of what's going on in the psyche of other characters. Ooh. And that's catchy game is called Put the TV On. Telly Time!
I like a catchy title. Telly Time! So your job today, this week, these next 2 weeks, go out there and do some Telly Time!
Telly Time, just 15 minutes. If you're sitting down to watch a nice programme with your partner, 15 minutes and turn it off and just go do some writing.
And say, say sorry.
Say, sorry, Power Podcast UK told me to turn it off at 15 minutes and I've now got to go and do some writing. So, say ya.
And by the way, I've been lying to you 3 times today because I've been taking notes.
And now we go to the pub. We're going to find a stranger.
Let's have a chat with them. And what would you do if you had one person on train track and then 5 people on the train track and you had to decide who died?
Yeah, and your partner would be totally fine with this.
That's fine.
They'll totally understand it.
Of course they will. They'll be a sexy fox.
Mm.
Ah.
Oh.
Ah. Lovely. Oh, that was really fun.
So there, lots of games. I enjoyed that, Jenny.
I did too. If anyone else has got any suggestions for other games, we'll definitely come back to this another time. So let us know.
Cool.
Send us some links.
I've got some more bits and pieces as well, but maybe they'll come up in another episode. Who knows?
Yeah.
Wow. Thanks very much, everyone, for listening. Don't forget, you can find us on anywhere where you find your podcasts, click on the description and you should find a link to our show notes for this episode.
Yay!
Or you can go straight to our website, which is www.powerpodcastuk.blogspot.com. Find us on Instagram, which is lovely, and Twitter and Facebook at powerpodcastuk.
That's right.
That's it, right?
Yeah.
Brilliant. Cool. Lovely.
Bye, everybody.
Thanks very much. Don't forget to go to badfishmerch.com and use off-code POW. See you later. Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye. Find all our show notes and links on our website, powpodcastuk.blogspot.co.uk. Or you can email us at powpodcastuk@gmail.com.
Find us on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram at powpodcastuk. Please give us a like and leave us a review wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Ooh.